Blog Talk Radio.
Christmas feels like April Fools. Hey, good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. That's right, not old-timey radio. That's still reserved for tomorrow, Friday night. If you're here nice and early, and by gosh, I hope you are, we're celebrating Christmas this weekend. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
Dave Bickley from Wayne's Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One with a special announcement later in the program. And we're here along with... Hello?
One of you guys.
Hello?
Let's go.
Wake up, kids.
I thought it was Maypole Day.
greetings, felicitations, salutations, and embarkations. This is CW saying, bah humbug, put a coal in everybody's stocking.
That away, Auntie Krampus.
And also, it is I, Guy the Ghoul, but I really thought it was Maypole Day. What's going on here?
Maypole Day.
I want my maypole.
That's right.
Oh, let's all answer that question. Who put the Benzedrine in Mrs. So-and-so's Ovaltine? Oh, dear.
I want to know who put the ram in the Ram-a-Lama Ding-Dong. That's been on my mind for years. Probably since the 50s.
A question
I want to know who wrote
the
Book of Love. I want to know who wrote the Book of Love. That's what I want to know. I want to be the
one. I wonder who... Who wrote the Book of Love?
And who is Doctor Who?
This week is the question, yes.
That's right, it's all about Christmas.
Oh,
this weekend.
I'm having fun already.
Everyone grab a waffle bowl.
I mean, there have been more Doctor Who's than... my buddy who has ex-wives. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. What are they on, 14 now or something? Doctor Who?
Something like that.
Oh, are we allowed to count?
Oh,
I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm dyslexic. I can't count
that.
More
than 14.
Okay.
But tonight you're all getting Scrooged, or somebody is. Trust me. Mutual Radio Theater's presentation of... The End of Scrooge, all right? It's with Hans Conried.
Yeah.
And if
Hans
I'm not mistaken,
Conried,
it's hosted by Vincent, is it not?
It is hosted by Vincent.
It is.
And it is Hans Conried, who is Scrooge in this. And interesting tale, of course, Sears came up with the Sears Radio Theater, or the CBS came up with Sears Radio Theater to go along with the CBS Mystery Theater, since they were having such success with that. They sold it off about a year later to Mutual Broadcasting, although Sears still stayed the number one advertiser on there. But, it became the Mutual Radio Theater until it went off after about a year there. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, different themes, Western, Western comedy, Intrigue or something like that with Vincent Price, and then you had Love and Anger or Love and Hatred or whatever with Cicely Tyson, followed by a bunch of people who did Adventure on Friday nights.
Swashbuckling and Love Letters. Yeah.
Swashbuckling, yeah. Love and Swashbuckling, that was it.
So, Dave, this obviously these came later in the from the Silver Age, as it were. Some wise guy coined it that anyway.
Yeah.
Was this a show that you remember listening to as they were released on radio, like back in the day?
I didn't catch it when it was Sears, but when they moved to Mutual, I was able to find it. And I don't know why, because again, it was on CBS, but I think it was WJR did have them both on one after the other for a while. Here in Cleveland.
Here in the land of please.
It's odd that it never ran on my radar, and I was listening, an avid listener of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater way back when that was on, and yet here's another one, and it definitely encompassed within the time frame of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. But this is one I had never run across.
Yep. I did catch them once they went to Mutual. I did catch some of them. Yeah. Lauren Green, a lot of the Westerns were kind of cool. And
yes.
Of course, Vincent Price and Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith hosted the comedy, and Vincent Price, Mystery and Intrigue, is what his night was.
Who was it, like Lena Dorn or Lena Horne, or I forget who it was, for the love letter thing. I forget who that was.
Cicely Tyson.
Okay. Yep. Well, yeah, be that way, sure.
But yeah, for the adventure, it would start off with Richard Widmark, and then he died.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Duff took it over for a short time, and then it went to Leonard Nimoy, who hosted it through the rest of the Mutual Theater run.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And you know, Dave, that Richard Widmark should not be confused with his brother, John Skidmark, because that's somebody completely different.
No,
He left his mark in the world, for sure.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
But Richard Widmark goes back to Suspense and to a lot of Inner Sanctums there with High Brown, which is maybe why, again, this was done by Elliot Lewis out and that's the big difference between the two. High Brown stayed in New York, and he did the Mystery Theater, and Elliot Lewis stayed out in Hollywood, and they got some interesting guest stars in on those episodes there. And Dawes Butler was a guy that contributed fairly often, and some other people, that Jack Bannon. I'm thinking of all kinds of different people that were in radio or that were in television out there at the time, came over and did some more of the radio.
Yep, this one's a good one. It's our Christmas present to you, our first one of the weekend, and it's from Mutual Radio Theater, The Last of Scrooge. Originally broadcast way back.
This is very bizarre. Very bizarre, because it's a Christmas type show.
Yes.
April 9th, 1980.
Yeah, I know.
This is
weird,
on.
Isn't it?
Of course, that's when you
went
do a story about Scrooge. Yeah, here we go. What, the goat?
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Last of Scrooge, by Ken Jerrard. Our star, Hans Conried.
And Joanne Worley.
What had befallen Scrooge after his miraculous transformation from skinflint to as good a man as the good old city knew? Wasn't his very being filled with love and charity enough to erase the harm of his former image? Or was it his intense desire to be loved that destroyed him in the end? Or was it madness? Well, I'll let you resolve those questions at the final curtain of this drama. For now, let us pick up the threads of our story. The days after Christmas were filled with joy and laughter. Scrooge could not have been merrier. His office ablaze with warmth. His heart was fired with kindness, so much so that his clients winked at each other knowingly. Had old Scrooge gone round the bend? People could not accept this change in him. They still feared the old man because his reputation, carefully nurtured over the years, could not be altered in a single day, nor changed by his succeeding acts of compassion. Scrooge knew it, for he was no fool. He summoned his lawyer to his home. He devised a plan to prove to the world that he was truly a man to be loved.
Oh, Mr. Campton. Come in, sir, please.
Yes. How are you, Ebenezer?
Oh, never better, thank you. Come, Mr. Campton. We'll sit in the parlor and enjoy a roaring fire whilst we talk.
Well, you've repainted the entire house.
Oh, indeed. I couldn't look at those drab walls another day. Oh, I lived here in such depressing surroundings beyond me. Oh, yes, Mr. Kempton, a new life is ahead of me. I relish the days. I want to live each moment to the fullest. I want others to enjoy it also. That's why I ask you here. Please sit down. No. Take a seat by the fire.
Well, I marvel at your change, Ebenezer. It was quite sudden, but nevertheless, welcome.
Well, if it hadn't been for the spirits, I never would have come to my senses.
Spirit?
Of course. First it was Marley's ghost, then the ghosts of Christmas, but the last idiot apparition, a phantom in black, was the cruelest. Oh, Mr. Kempton, he showed me the future, and it was horrible. I had died unwanted, alone. But the worst was the death of Tiny Tim. I could not bear that sight.
You had visions of your own death?
Of course. I saw the future and the past. It was then that I realized my entire life had meant nothing. Yeah. I'd thrown away everything I loved. I was consumed by suspicion and hate. I knew I had to change. No, I knew I had to give, Kempton. Give love and receive it in return. And that's why I've asked you here.
Yes. These visions, did they ever speak to you before?
No.
Did you saw Jacob Marley's ghost?
I spoke with him. Poor Jacob was in chains.
I see. And did you talk to other visions?
Well, naturally. And I flew with him. We passed through the walls and were transported to old Fezziwig's house.
You say you flew and walked through walls?
Several times.
Ebenezer, have you told others this tale?
No, I don't think so.
Good. Let's keep it our secret. The others might... some could get the wrong impression about the entire episode. I believe you understand, don't you?
No, my dear Mr. Captain. I'm not crazy. I'm cured. The visions, the ghosts, and Jacob's warning have given me a clearer picture than ever before. Oh, I'm quite sane.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to imply anything.
Oh, I know. It all seems so mad, so topsy-turvy that I should turn over a new leaf and attempt to right my past mistakes. Call them dreams or visions, whatever you wish, it doesn't matter. The important fact remains that they changed my life for the better.
Yes, well, probably they were dreams. And often nightmares prod us to action where sweet reveries lull us into complacency. Now what are we about? A new will, a lawsuit? I'm at your disposal.
Oh, better than that, my dear Mr. Kempton. I want to dispose of all my earthly goods before I die.
Well, that's simple. I can draw up a will in 2 days. Do you have a list of the bequests and the heirs?
No. I want to give everything away now, tomorrow.
Are you planning to enter a monastery?
Oh, absolutely not. I thought you through to the last detail, to the last cup and saucer. I want people to enjoy my wealth while I'm still alive.
This is incredible. Ebenezer, you have to reconsider the idea. Now, where would you live? Who would care for you? Who would run the business?
No, patience, my dear friend. I have it entirely settled in my mind.
Oh, no, this is folly. It's madness.
Oh, hardly. It's love and kindness I'm offering to repay those who endured my wrath and cruelty. Mr. Kempton, I must do this with your help. I must show those who snicker behind my back and call me fool that I am a loving fool.
But you mustn't pay any attention to idle chatter. They'd malign the angels if given half the chance.
Oh, but I have to clear my name. Scrooge. The very sound has become synonymous with an Arthur Flint, with a grasping old man laced with hate and greed. Suppose your name rang the devil's bell in others' hearts. Oh, I pray that may never happen. My name is my cross, my burden. I must cleanse it of the very poison with which it infects the air. Each time a child points a finger in anger and utters Scrooge at his victim, my soul shrivels. I detest my name. I loathe it as much as I loathe what I've done to others. I want to burn the word from our vocabulary. I will not go down in history as a villain. Oh, help me, Kempton. Please, help me right monstrous wrongs.
Help me clear myself before I die. I want to be loved. I will buy my share of devotion, if it's necessary.
And Kempton did assist Scrooge, though rather unwillingly. The concept was simple. Scrooge intended to give away all his possessions, his house, his furniture, the silver, and even the second set of china dishes. All this was to go to the Cratchits. Additionally, he set aside money for each of their children. Kempton shook his head with disbelief, but Scrooge was insistent. He made Kempton draw the papers with such clarity and precision that there could be little doubt who was to receive what. Scrooge made certain that everybody had a fair and equitable share of the fortune. To his faithful nephew, Fred, Scrooge would sign over 75% interest in his counting house. The remainder would be given to Bob Cratchit. Dutifully, Kempton drafted the proper legal documents and placed them in front of his client for his signature.
I wish you'd reconsider this plan. Oh, why, if it brings such joy to others and relieves me of my troubles? Money cannot bring you happiness, Kempton. How will I know that? My house is nothing without laughter resounding off its walls. A business cannot thrive unless it gives service. No, no, my mind is made up. I shan't be free until the Cratchits are in this house and Fred is in charge of my firm. Now, where must I sign the deed?
Here. And once more on this document.
And that seals it. I feel free, unburdened. I have fulfilled my visions.
A chicken of sorts. Who knew?
Chickens are always running around London, you know? Chickens are always running around London. So.
We've got a sight of Scrooge we're not used to seeing here.
Right, because this is the reformed. This is the reformed Scrooge.
Yeah.
Ooh, he's so magnanimous.
Does anyone smell this isn't going to end well? Well, no, we already know it's going to end well.
Well, we do now.
For all this.
Vincent Price said in the beginning. In the beginning, Vincent Price said, and they found him, you know, stuck to a bench.
Stuck to a bench, yeah. Talking on people who leave their gum, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy glue. Yeah. It was a horrible crazy glue experiment gone wrong.
Leave their gum and old guys. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I am no spoiler.
Okay. Fair enough.
And if you believe that,
this is something I want to say so bad. But I doubt
you're a bad man.
I am a bad man. A very bad man. As
CW knows, yes.
Bill Mumby.
Yes, how you doing, CW?
Be careful. Yes, marvelously, and I have the ruler right here. I borrowed it from the penguin. It's right here, so be careful, Dave. Be careful.
That's pretty good. I like that. Very penguiny.
What the heck?
I don't know. Somebody's computer's singing.
Mm.
There's so many people in the chat, I can't list them all, but here we are on Thursday night. Usually.
Oh, go ahead. Try. Go ahead.
It is the eve of Christmas Eve's Eve. Is it not? Yes. It's the eve of Christmas Eve's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say that 26 times, it'll be New Year's Eve. Eve. There you go.
Eve.
And they said there wouldn't be man.
The eve of Eve. Yes, well, there's the Eve. Probably about, almost 300 plus Eves from Halloween.
Sticky St. Marie. Oh, no, wait. That's different.
And hello to the people who are listening. There is another pod. There are other broadcasts besides Blog Talk Radio where Erie House is available on, you know.
I think any place that you go, even Google, you can go to Google Podcasts. If you type in Erie House Radio, you can find us. We're all over the place.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
I'm scared
no
now.
Escape.
I had no idea.
Resistance is futile.
Yes,
resistance is futile.
Give us your soul.
Yes. But it, the goat.
That's right. Welcome. Welcome to Haiti.
The goat
and the yodeling
goat.
Pickle.
Yes.
And the yodeling
we
pickle.
We have cookies and ice cream.
Pickle.
We have quiches too. If someone doesn't steal.
Oh, we got quiches. Where are all those quiches there, Dale?
Oh boy, I gotta get a scroll in here, don't I?
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, it's around here somewhere.
And while you're scrolling,
we also have chicken.
Nothing like that instant response.
Hey, Kiska.
Everyone grab a plate, plenty of Kiska.
Plenty of quiche on kielbasa over day. As a man once said. Cool it with the boomers.
Oh, yeah.
Is there tofu,
tofu
quiche out there? I wonder.
If not, there should not be. Don't. I don't. It's not. It doesn't sound right. It
Is
just
there
doesn't
a...
sound right.
No.
Is there a meatloaf quiche out there?
Is there what?
A meatloaf
quiche. Where is it?
Meatloaf quiche.
Yeah. There you go.
Tofu
now
meatloaf.
You're just being silly.
Yeah.
There's impossible meat. Meatloaf. There's probably impossible meat quiches too.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's a market for it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's impossible sausage, you know, that looks like, you know, the sausage stuff, but I don't know if there's impossible quiche or not. I do not know.
Isn't a quiche just a pasty, only it's Polish?
It's a sausage, I thought. No, they had a sleeve over there.
If they hung it on a rack, I don't know. Quiche Wikipedia, the Rat Islands. Nope, quiche careers. What does quiche mean?
I don't know. I'm from Scotland. I know not of these things.
Polish blood sausage, quiche, can be eaten multiple ways, whether cold or heated, cooked whole on a grill or nonstick skillet. Yeah, I remember that stuff. We just called it blood sausage. It was real red in color. Oh, Ingredients, 2 pounds of well-marbled pork shoulder, 1 large pork liver, 2 teaspoons of salt, divided 7 cups of water, more as necessary, 3 cups of buckwheat groats. Now, all right, that's where I draw the line. When you have groats, whatever the hell those are, I'm not eating.
I like my groats. I'm liking the groats.
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 This is according to the Spruce Eats. For them, that matters.
Where's my groat?
Score.
There's my groat. I knew it was in there somewhere.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm not eating groats. Whatever they are, they don't sound good. So let's move on to The Last of Scrooge, part 2 of 4 tonight.
Yay!
From Mutual Radio Theater, we will return.
With a scratch of a pen, Scrooge had signed over all his assets to the Cratchits and his nephew. He had reversed the entire course of a lifetime within 3 weeks. Scrooge leaned back in the dark leather chair, satisfied that he had unburdened his soul and brought happiness to everyone. Lawyer Kempton looked at the documents and shook his head. It seemed foolhardy to give away the house, the business. Certainly Scrooge was acting rashly, or was it irrationally? Kempton wondered if he should mention any of the visions or discussions with Marley to Ebenezer's nephew. No, surely not. Perhaps Scrooge was jesting. Of course it was a joke, a play upon words. Kempton handed the papers back to Scrooge.
Well, it's done, Ebenezer. You have given everything away.
I've never felt more at peace with myself than at this moment, Mr. Kempton. I'm free. It's as if a millstone had been lifted off my entire being. Don't you realize how happy, truly happy I am?
I'm trying to understand, Ebenezer.
Oh, good. Please, go to the Cratchit's house, to my nephew's home. Bring all of them here. I want to see the joy on their faces when I tell them the news.
In several hours, the Cratchits, the nephew Fred and his wife Anne, and Mr. Kempton were assembled before the fire in Scrooge's parlor. It was a moment that Ebenezer hoped he would savor for the balance of his life. However, in reality, it was a bitter turning point, which would ultimately lead to his death.
Now, sit here, Mrs. Cratchit.
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
Are you comfortable, Anne? Why don't you take my chair?
I'm fine, dear uncle. Perhaps Mrs. Cratchit would care for my place.
I'm quite satisfied, thank you, ma'am.
But you look so uncomfortable.
I'm used to straight chairs. The plainest of furniture fulfills my needs.
It certainly does, my dear.
And, gentlemen, are your glasses amply filled with sherry?
Absolutely, Uncle Ebenezer.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, Bob, you must learn to call me Ebenezer. It's all different now, all changed, and for the better.
I propose a toast to Mr. Ebenezer. Long may he live.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your fellowship and warm sentiments. It must seem strange that in such a brief span I've moved from one extreme to the other.
Oh, Uncle, you don't have to explain any of your actions. Fred and I rejoice that you have found peace within yourself.
Oh, I will treasure those feelings for the balance of my days, because I know, or rather, I was shown, that often you had little patience with me.
That's not so. Dearest uncle, I never bore you any ill will.
Well, if you did, it was well deserved, as I treated your husband with contempt and made him feel ridiculous.
Oh, all in the past. There's no need to thrash old feelings about. This is the beginning of a new year and a new life for you, uncle.
Well put, my boy. I wish to wipe the slate clean.
I wish to propose another toast to Mr. Scrooge.
Down, Bob. Mm-hmm. Put the glass down. Put it down.
Oh, Bob, it makes my heart light to see you so merry.
He does nothing but sing your praises to the children when we're at home. Mm. Belinda constantly remembers you in her prayers each night before bed. It's so pleasant to hear her say, God bless us all, and especially dear Mr. Scrooge. Mm.
It brings tears to my eyes that she's included me in your family.
I know she'll never forget what happiness you've brought to all of us. And how many children do you have, my dear?
None at present. We felt we should abstain from raising a proper family until we had sufficient means. I understand one of your sons is lame. What a pity, my dear. So sorry.
Please.
Expect me to hold my tongue when that cheap fishwife, that cow, plays your uncle like a cello with her children's prayers and adoring smile. She makes me
you?
We'll discuss it afterwards.
Well, I've asked you here to unfold some of my plans. I've decided to make reparations to all of you whilst I'm still alive and can share your happiness.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm giving my fortune away now.
What?
Mr. Campton, would you please read the document?
Yes, of course, Scrooge. I, Ebenezer Scrooge, being of sound mind, do hereby instruct my attorneys to prepare the documents. One, my home and chattels therein, be given to Robert Cratchit.
You're giving us the sash?
And all the furniture, the dishes, the towels, even the mousetrap. It's a small compensation for the disservice I've done to your family.
The old man's a raving lunatic.
And to each of the Cratchit children, I put in trust the sum of £5,000 to be divided among them when they reach legal maturity.
God bless you, sir.
In addition, I place in trust with Kempton and Kempton Esquires the sum of £2,000, which shall be disbursed for medical treatment as needed by Master Timothy Cratchit.
You have off Jim's undying love.
And fourthly, I give to my faithful friend, Robert Cratchit, the sum of £3,000.
Oh, I can't believe this.
You're just too kind, Mr. Scrooge. Too kind.
Yes, well, I've instructed the bank to issue you a draft for the entire sum in the morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
An ass in feathers is still an ass.
And to my dearest nephew, Frederick, I give the sum of £3,000.
Most gracious of you, Uncle.
Oh, why, there's more. Read on, Mr. Kempton, read on.
And sixthly, I assign a 75% interest in my business to my nephew, Fred.
What?
And the remaining 25% to my devoted clerk, Robert Cratchit. Thus ends the gifts and trust.
I did wonderful. Fred and Bob, partners. I cannot tell you how overjoyed this has made me. We can only thank the specters for this wonderful moment.
And he's buying a stairway to heaven.
Yeah. I still like Stairway to Gilligan's Island. I still like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That stairway is built on coconuts, like everything else.
Ah, yes. Coconuts and vines.
Yes.
Oh, and don't forget the batteries on the radio. And the batteries on the radio,
yep,
too.
Yep. They were recharged by coconuts, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Magic batteries. Magic.
Well,
batteries.
That or they
Sam
made...
Spain has joined us.
They made Gilligan ride that bicycle thing. They generate their electricity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
That's how Gilligan, yeah, he was able to keep that slim figure.
Yes.
Well, I know why Vincent Price was the spokesperson for this when Sears was the Sears Radio Theater, and then they were just the first tier advertiser, Mutual, because Sears had a selection of artware for the middle class home, and since Vincent was a huge art aficionado, he was the spokesperson for Sears Art.
Yep.
Well, at the time that this was happening, Sears was the number one retailer in the world. Are there any Sears left at all?
I don't think so.
There are a few. There's, well, Sears.com, they're online, a little too way too late.
Yeah.
And you know what? They don't have the commercials here on this particular one, but some others that we've played have had them. And it's amazing because, I mean, they're putting in, like, lifetime mufflers for $29.99. You know, they were very competitive, but when they went out, they were more expensive than everyone else. I don't, you know, they killed themselves is what they did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The curiosity about Sears, that they're returning to what they were. They were originally a catalog store.
Yeah. And yet
that's why I was always astounded. Why did they jump the internet bandwagon so late?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't.
That's what
they thought it was just a flash in the pan.
Store. That's what murdered Borders Bookstore. They were really big on brick and mortar places, but they didn't want to mess with this thing called the internet. So they gave this this fledgling company called Amazon a chance to just, you can handle all the internet stuff, and we'll just handle the brick and mortar stuff. Guess what's left?
Guess who won?
That's the curiosity. Your JCPenney's, your Sears Roebuck, were originally catalog stores. You walked into a very small store and here's a catalog, order what you want, and it comes in, you come get it here, versus they turn into a brick and mortar that still had a catalog department, and then the brick and mortar suffered. And I don't know why the brick and mortar suffered. Yep. I don't understand that, actually, but...
Didn't use it to their advantage. They could have used them as, they could have shut down some of the stores, not 99% of them as they've done now, but they could have used them as outlets, a warehousing, as Amazon does. That's why you're getting your Amazon order so quickly, because they have strategic places. But Sears had the brick and mortar in place, and all they had to do was go online. The complacent, overfed men who were on the chair of the board.
I resemble that remark.
You resemble it greatly.
I stay away from marriage, so I can't quantify that statement. There you go.
So anyway, thus the death knell of Sears.
And deserved.
One of my 9,326 jobs was, I worked as management in a JCPenney's department.
Which department?
I'm blown away. Shoes. Shoes and luggage, actually.
Shoes and luggage.
I guess,
there you go.
Yeah.
Nice combo.
Yeah, if you flatten out a shoe enough and stitch them together, it turns into luggage. I said it. There you go.
Oh, gosh. I can hear Al Bundy now.
All here.
Hail, the gang's all here.
Yep.
What the heck?
In the back of our store, we had what? We had, it was the catalog department. You had people coming in, not necessarily to see what we had in the store. They were going back to pick up their item they had ordered.
Yep.
And so they were using that notion you're talking about there, CW.
Exactly. You could have, right now, for example, you have a Whole Foods, which is owned by Amazon. They have grocery stores that they're opening up. If you order from Amazon and get an order and it's not what you like, you, instead of mailing it back, you just drop it off at a Whole Foods store.
Get a sandwich.
I'm pretty sure Whole Foods is owned and operated by the Hare Krishna, actually, I think.
Yes.
No, they're Amazon. They're Amazon.
It's true.
I don't know. Amazon may own
Hare
Krishna.
If we follow that, Amazon is owned by the Hare Krishna. There we go. Now we know.
A lot of radio. Let's continue with the Last of Scrooge from Mutual Radio Theater.
Scrooge's revelation stunned Mrs. Cratchit and his niece, Anne. Both women smiled politely, but inwardly seized with anger and jealousy. Lawyer Kempton watched their show of happiness, realizing that beneath the charming veneer, they hated each other.
Mr. Kempton, did you hear what Mrs. Cratchit said?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry, Ebenezer. I was rereading the deed to your house.
We want Mr. Scrooge to live with us. Well, it wouldn't seem right to have him give up his comforts, even though we'll be there. Isn't that right, Bob?
Oh, for certain. The children would love to be with you. Tiny Tim already thinks of you as his grandfather.
You hear that, Mr. Campton? I'm a grandfather.
Yes. You're very lucky, Ebenezer. Very lucky.
Oh, it'll be wonderful. Mr. Scrooge sitting by the fire, reading to the children and helping Bob to learn the business and spoiling Belinda with preacher. We'd be a real family, a very happy family.
Okay, you see, Mr. Kempton, you say it's a dream come true.
I hope so. I sincerely do.
Mr. Kempton, don't be so worried. Of course the Cratchits will take good care of Uncle Ebenezer. Isn't that right, Mrs. Cratchit?
Well, yes, of course. We'll always have a place for him.
See, it's settled. I'm delighted. But, well, never mind.
Now, I am. Speak on. I sense something's bothering you.
It's not my place, Uncle.
No, I insist. Well, what is it?
I was thinking how the Cratchits needed time, especially those darling children, to acclimate themselves to their new home. I guess it's foolish, but I would want to have matters settled, settled, before I could graciously receive any visitors or relatives.
Yes, I understand. You're quite right. I'm selfish. The Cratchit should be alone when they take possession of the house.
Oh, not at all. We want you to stay. Tell him, Bob.
Perhaps Miss Anne has a point. Not that we don't want you, Mr. Scrooge, but the hubbub of the children might be disturbing to you.
The children aren't any trouble. And this still is Mr. Scrooge's residence.
Oh, now, dear lady, as of this day, this is your home.
Why don't you stay with us while the Cratchits acquaint themselves with newer surroundings?
Oh, yes, I insist, Uncle. There's more than enough room. The change would do you wonders, and we can discuss the details of your business at leisure. You see, I want to take advantage of your years of knowledge in order to make Scrooge and Marley thrive.
Oh, there's great sense of this. Indeed, I'll pack this afternoon and I'll come round for dinner.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Won't you reconsider, Mr. Kempton? Beg him to stay. I feel as if I'd forced you out of the house.
Odious woman. Harpy.
I won, you snivelling witch. You might own the house, but I'll have him.
I wish I could tear those blonde curls out of her head. I'll have you back, you old man, before she's poisoned your mind.
True to his word, Scrooge moved in with his nephew, while the Cratchits took possession of the home. Daily, Scrooge would accompany Fred to the counting house, where they would pore over loans and interest rates and collections. Bob Cratchit often listened to their discussions, but inevitably returned to his desk to add columns of figures. Ebenezer was pleased that his nephew had such a grasp of the business and expressed his pleasure to Anne that evening at dinner.
Oh, Anne, I marvel at your husband's ability. He's learned my business within days.
You're too kind. I'm sure there's much more for him to know. What took you years of wisdom and experience to understand can't be understood in such a short time. You flatter him, Uncle Ebenezer.
Oh, indeed not. I thank the spirits that I had the good sense to turn everything over to Fred.
Not everything, but we're more than satisfied. Your company is payment enough.
A toast to Uncle Ebenezer and the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, spirits, Fred, spirits.
I hope they haven't bothered you since you've been here.
Oh, not at all. I only talked to Jacob at night.
You've seen Jacob Marley?
Oh, yes. Every night, as I lie in bed and wait for him to materialize. And then we talk for hours. I've told him how happy I am, how Fred's progressing, what's happened to the Cratchits. Oh, Jacob is pleased, very pleased.
They're dreams, Uncle, like the other time.
Well, dreams, if you wish, but Marley does with it with me.
Have you ever discussed these apparitions with Mr. Kempton?
Oh, certainly. He knows all about them. There's nothing I would hide from my attorney.
Most sensible, Uncle, and most important. Did he feel the spirits had guided you unwisely in the past weeks?
Well, you know, Mr. Kempton, he's a man of logic, of fact. His mind, it works like a clock. He thought my voices were a fever that had swayed my judgment. Poor man, he has little imagination and too much reason.
Did he question your actions? Did he feel giving your home to the Cratchits a sound decision?
Well, it wasn't his decision or mine. It was the will of the spirits. I've told you that before.
Anne and Fred sat facing each other in the parlor after Scrooge had gone to bed. Despite their silence, they thought along similar lines. Finally, Anne spoke.
I'm glad he's insane.
Oh, you mustn't say that.
No? You want him living here the rest of his life? You want to hear his wheezing and hacking in the dead of night? Or do you want to remain partners with a simpleton, a petty, low-class fool whose main ambition is to add rows of numbers? You want that, dear? I'm the laughing stock of our circle because my husband shares a business with Clark.
He's harmless.
He's there. I want him judged incompetent. I want the lawyers to pore over all the legal documents he's prepared and find them the work of a deranged old man, a madman. I want her out of that house. I want her groveling in the streets and her children picking rags.
Stop. Your cruelty goes beyond reason. They're harmless people who have never had anything. Let them live. Be content, Anne. Be satisfied.
Oh, my darling, I only want you to receive your rightful share. Of course, the Cratchits are entitled to something, but what? He has given them much more than they deserve. Am I wrong? Can you honestly tell me that the house is rightfully theirs, or that you cherish the idea of sharing your efforts with Bob Cratchit?
What should we do?
Have Scrooge declared unfit. Throw the issue of property into the courts. Let them find for us. It's out of our hands. Once he's examined, they'll know he's mad. Let the spirits help him then. We've waited too long to let this opportunity elude us. We'll have Kempton act in our behalf. Yes, let him institute the proceedings. Scrooge is mad. I want him locked in the darkest corner of the asylum. Let him tell the rats and the spiders about Marley and the visions.
What's that? Who's there? Uncle Scrooge. We didn't hear you come downstairs.
Apparently not.
But he's heard everything, haven't you, old man?
Yes, you scheming viper.
Good. I'm glad. I hate you. And when we're finished, you'll be remembered for your insanity, not your meanness.
Kind of feel it's like my biography here, sort of. weird. It's giving me the heebie-jeebies. It all sounds so familiar. It's homecoming back.
It's all so weird. All so weird.
And
eerie.
Dear Anne. Dear Anne has fangs.
Yep.
Is there anything Hans Conrad hasn't done yet? Of course, in radio and cartoon and acting in television, acting in movies. Is there anything he hasn't done, you think?
Astrophysics.
Astrophysics? Okay. I'll buy that.
In biochemistry.
Yeah. Probably not too much of that. Yeah. No, you know, it's funny. In this episode, it took me a while to pick up his voice. At first, it was rather difficult. But he has a certain timbre to his voice that's absolutely recognizable.
Right. He's using the English accent here, but he's used Russian accent and European accents before, you know, as well as just using his own voice at times, as he did in the Night Stalker in the Black Knight episode, where he was the caretaker of the museum.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Very well done. Yes, I'm liking the fact that he's not doing an over-the-top British accent.
Right.
He's doing it more...
Matter of fact, this whole Scrooge is under the radar instead of over. You know, where Scrooge, when he was the bad guy, he was just over-the-top on just about everything, you know?
Yeah, and he's really playing this one straight. Am I allowed to say that? Anyway, I don't know. Is it a bad thing? Chickens!
Someone asked the goat,
Wee. Goat squealing like a scared goat.
Yeah.
Oh, it scared away the pickle. The pickle just started running around. Oh, there it goes back into the jar.
Oh, I missed the pickle.
What pickle?
I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride on my motorcycle.
The yodeling pickle.
Just want to ride on my motorcycle.
Cool.
Yep, motorcycle.
Motor.
Cool.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. Cool.
Yep. Logo 3.
Yes. So just remember, folks, if anyone's out there who has a bundle of cash you want to give away, just contact Moose and Elk. We'll be more than happy to take that off your hands.
That's right.
Yeah, this is somewhat disturbing if you actually have a family like this. It's like they would cut you to the quick.
Wait,
and
don't?
Run.
We don't?
I don't know, do you?
I don't mean this family here. I mean my oh gosh, I don't even want to get into the dysfunction.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This
strikes a little close to the heart there.
I'm twitching. I'm twitching over here.
Okay.
Are you?
Because, guys, I thought we had it all planned. When Dale had his back turned, you know, we just, you know, come up with that straight jacket that I just ordered online. And
first Dale needs
away.
To become a millionaire.
You know what?
I don't know how much I
normally have a little bit of claustrophobia, but I don't know if I wouldn't mind a straitjacket so much, because maybe it would be like, you know, those thunder coats that dogs wear in thunderstorms. You know, it's very calming.
Oh yeah,
it's very calming.
Could be calming. And especially with this crazy weather we're gonna get. It might be warming.
True.
You know.
Yeah, we're going to get socked over here with the snow.
Yeah.
With the cold.
Lots of cold.
Some parts of the world will be getting a bit chilly.
It'll be
even down here in Florida, we're having wind chill advisories, meaning exposed skin could turn black and fall off or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, chill blames.
Yeah. All that
in Florida that just means wear socks with your flip flops.
Yeah.
No, actually you get the insulated flip flop. You still leave those toes out. You know.
Now that you've all succeeded in getting me the creeps, let us continue.
I thought you had the creeps before we started.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
I was born with the creeps.
Do we get extra paper?
The last, the very last of Scrooge from Mutual Radio Theater.
Scrooge ran from the house in the dead of night. Tears streamed down his cheeks as Anne's words echoed in his brain.
Help me. Oh, dear God, turn this horror from a reality into a simple nightmare. Let me wake in my bed. Please, please let this be a tortured dream as penance for my sins. Cold. I'm cold inside and out. Where to, Scrooge? Oh, it's not yet lost. I'll go home. To my fire. Yes, yes, to my house. What's done can be undone. I'll be myself again. Open! Open!
Upon my soul, Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, damn your soul, close the door.
Yes, sir. You're soaked to the skin. Come, sit by the fire.
Move aside, you fool.
Who is it, Bob? Ebenezer! Well, you're sopping. Bob, get his robe and some blankets. Well, quickly, men. Oh, give me your coat.
I'll take it. Turn the chair. Face in the fire, you farce.
Yes, sir.
Fetch my comforter and get out.
I said get out, didn't you, Emma, you fat-faced little gutter snipe? Get out!
Ill, sir?
Ill? No, I'm cured. And I see you for what you are. You get out now.
Well, sir, this is your niece's handiwork. Well, she's done a proper job, and in such a short time, with that pompous witch.
Oh, you're all witches, lying, ungrateful trollops.
Shut your mouth, you old man.
How dare you? Get out of my house. Take your pack of disgusting children, your feeble-minded husband, and get out.
You sit down. Sit down and be still.
Well, I'll have the bailiffs throw you out into the deepest part of the prison and make sure that your brats never leave the workhouse.
If you speak once more, just once, I'll bend this poke across your wretched head. You see?
No.
I loathe you, Scrooge. I've hated you for years. Even this Christmas dinner of ours stuck in my throat when Bob raised his glass to you. Founder of the feast, indeed. Why, you're an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man. Your name casts an evil shadow on this ass. My ass, you old fool. Well, it belongs to me now.
Well, not for long. You'll be out of here tomorrow. Kempton will see to that.
Oh, hardly, dearie. Didn't you sign the deed over to us? Didn't you give freely and without stipulation the money to the children and a share of the business to Bob? You did all that. It's signed and ours. All ours.
Oh, not quite. You see, my dear, I'm going to contest the transaction. I'm going to have the whole matter reversed. I'll bring my case on temporary insanity brought on by food poisoning. Then everything will be thrown into a conservator's hands, Mr. Kempton's hands, and you and these miserable brats will be forced from my home. Scrooge will be Scrooge once more.
Oh, so you dead before one of my children sleeps among the lice and roaches again. You're burning hell as you deserve. Insane. You're just mad, but to my advantage. Look at you, dressed in sopping clothes. Well, you're just nothing but a raving lunatic. What's signed and sealed will never be undone by the likes of you. Your darling niece has played the hand for both of us. Now get out, Scrooge. Get out of my ass. Let the wind and rain freeze your wretched heart.
Contemptible slut. No, put that poker down. Don't come near me now.
Get out, you filth.
Don't you dare touch me.
Don't. Run, old man, run to your death.
Scrooge ran through the night as the wind and the rain pelted his face and soaked his clothes. The rain turned to sleet and the wind howled around the corners of London's deserted streets. Scrooge's eyes glistened like a man possessed. He scurried from building to building like a hunted animal. Finally, exhausted and shivering, he pounded on Mr. Kempton's door.
Oh, my God. Ebenezer, come in, ma'am. Come in. Take off those shoes.
Yeah.
Give me your coat. Here. And put this blanket around yourself. What happened?
Oh, Mr. Kempton, I've seen more evil, more hate than I ever thought existed in the entire world. The devils have turned on me. Kempton, it's all gone wrong. Everything has turned upside down. I'm a fool. A stupid fool whose mind is twisted with love and hate.
Did Fred cause this?
Yeah. Fred? Bob, hardly. Poor simple man, dances with bibs controlled by scheming women.
Come to pass too quickly, too soon.
You knew this would happen, didn't you?
Yes.
Why didn't you stop me?
Would you have listened?
No, I wouldn't. The idea was too set in my mind. My emotions would have rejected the best of reason.
Well, now, enough sadness for one night. You'll take the spare bedroom and we'll talk in the morning.
Kempton, am I insane?
Well, this is... It's not the time to discuss these questions.
Am I, Kempton? Am I?
I think your heart has been filled with anger for years, and it forced you to act unreasonably. Your hatred of mankind certainly stems from the irrational, as... Do your actions of hate? I've always known you were a man possessed with unspeakable pain and with a galaxy of fears.
That's true. It's quite true. I didn't want to become what I've become. My life was, and still is, it's a living hell.
Oh, no. Hush. Now, let's leave this until the morning.
Captain, I've never been loved.
Now, please, Ebenezer.
It's a fact. How can anyone give love when they've never received it? I was always the outcast. My father detested the sight of me. I never knew why. What had I done except being born? Captain, I've been so alone, so lonely. I only wanted to spend the last years being loved. Being loved. Was it too much to ask?
Kempton guided Scrooge up the stairs and into the spare bedroom. He closed the door, leaving the old man to prepare himself for bed. Poor Ebenezer, he thought. Poor, demented man. A whole life wasted. Kempton trudged sadly to his chambers and fell into a fitful sleep. However, Scrooge was awake. His eyes darted across the room, searching the shadows and peering into the blackness. Suddenly, he cocked his head.
Who's there? Marley? Spirit? Is that you, Jacob? Speak to me. Who was in this room? I can't see you. No more. Haven't I paid enough for my sins? Aren't you satisfied? I can't take no more suffering. My whole life has been a punishment before. What more do you want of me? Father? Father, is that really you? What? What? Father? You want me to follow you? Oh, gladly. Gladly. You're sorry? Oh, I forgive you. You want to be with me? With me alone? Oh, yes. Yes, I'll come. I'll come gladly. I've waited... Why did such a long time for you, Father? It's been so lonely without you.
They found him the next morning. He was frozen to death on a bench in Hyde Park. He was just another faceless old man who was buried in a pauper's grave on that bleak winter. Kempton never suspected he had died, and the others didn't care.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Last of Scrooge, was written by Ken Jerrard and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Vincent Price. Our star was Hans Conried. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Len Berman, Betty Harford, Valerie Cooney, and Ivor Barry. The music for radio theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Well, there. That's a cheerful ending for Christmas.
Wow. Hey, not all endings are happy. Not all endings are happy.
Instead of redemption, dude gets burned. He does get Scrooged in the end.
Curiously, the tale started just like the Christmas carol started. Marley was dead already.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I don't know how I feel about the women.
Is that the only thing we can learn?
The villains.
Is that the only thing we can learn from this? We're going to find out.
is that an answer?
Was an answer enough for me? Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story for Christmas.
Amassing wealth is an endeavor in time. Losing wealth, that can happen in an afternoon. Or,
yes, it can. Yes,
or,
it can. Especially at the casino.
Or, it's easier to change your name than change your reputation. There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Very profound.
Ooh.
Yep, yep, yep.
Don't worry, he won't do that again. He promises. He promises.
God.
Yeah. Somebody give that man a chicken dinner
next?
So he calms down.
Yeah.
Scrooge versus the zombies. I can see a movie with that. Scrooge and the zombies.
Yeah. No, I've got
Why hasn't anyone done
the
that?
The night before a zombie Christmas, and it's beginning to look a lot like zombies. Two books that were put out within the last 5 years. Very entertaining, if that's what you're into.
Oh, and don't forget Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. That was Jane Austen's Pride.
That one I haven't seen.
Every time. That was a book, series of books, and also made into a movie. Pretty good, pretty decent movie, actually.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm set for tonight. I know what I'm going to watch.
I just saw for the first time The Shape of Water.
Ooh.
I don't know if any of you have seen it.
So I've seen that.
The girl that takes
good.
A fish on a date.
Yeah, it's kind of the creature from the Black Lagoon that gets lucky.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's the entire
like
point. It's not the entire point. Boy, there's spoilers flying all over the place.
Oh, is that get lucky? What are we talking about here? Switch, spin the wheel.
You'll find out. Go watch the movie.
We could spin the wheel. And
we could spin
out.
The wheel. We got time.
We could spin the wheel. We got time.
Oh, yeah.
Spin the wheel.
Gar
gets lucky.
Okay.
You get lucky and spin the wheel there, Gar.
And away we go.
Gar spinning the wheel.
All right. Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Now, here are Yamichi and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson in The Honeymoon Is Over. It's Christmas Eve, and the Bickersons have not retired. Mrs. Bickerson is busy wrapping presents in the bedroom, while husband John, exhausted as he is from the pre-holiday activity, puts the finishing touches to the tree, which stands proudly in the kitchen, the only other room in the Bickersons' small apartment. Listen.
John, will you bring the scissors, please? John, what is he doing in there? Oh, no. Fall asleep on the ladder. I haven't got the heart to wake him. I'd better get him off of there. John!
No. What's the matter, Blanche? What happened?
Oh, you poor dear. Did you hurt yourself?
No, I'm all right. How'd I fall off that ladder? I must have fainted.
Yes, dear. You were fainting like a log when I came in. Why, John.
What?
You never even touched your dinner. Not a morsel of it.
I don't like the looks of it, Blanche.
Oh, stop that talk. It's perfectly good food. You let it sit there on the kitchen table for hours getting cold. Do you want me to warm it up for you?
No. Just tell me, what's on that big plate?
Are you trying to be funny, John?
I'm not trying to be funny, Blanche. What is it?
You know very well I can only cook two things, liver and rice pudding.
Well, which one is that?
Can you be so nasty on Christmas Eve, John?
Blanche, I just asked you a civil question, that's all. I didn't think it was liver because your liver always looks like rubber heels. That stuff looks more like scrambled eggs, so I thought it might be rice pudding.
Why don't you taste it and find out?
I'm not hungry.
That's why you're always tired, John. You don't eat enough.
I eat plenty.
What'd you have for lunch today?
Well, you ought to know. You packed it for me. And listen, Blanche, I'm getting sick of carrying my lunch to the office in paper sacks. Why can't I go to a restaurant like the other
fellas? John, what are you talking about? I haven't fixed your lunch for 2 years.
Oh, Blanche, every morning of my life I find my lunch wrapped in brown paper on the side of the sink.
Lunch? That's the kitchen scraps.
No wonder I never have an appetite. Why do you do that to me, Blanche?
Go on, eat some dinner and finish trimming the tree.
I don't want any dinner. I want to go to sleep.
Aren't you going
to
finish the tree?
I can do it in the morning.
But, John, tomorrow morning is Christmas Day. I expect a lot of people to drop in. The butcher's coming and the milkman is
coming. Listen, Blanche, I can't afford to give those guys presents. Why did you invite them over?
I didn't invite them. They're coming here to collect their bills.
Bills? What bills? I gave you money for the bills.
Well, I had to buy presents, didn't I? My sister Clara sent me a package, and I had to get her something in return.
No, you didn't. Nobody asked her to send you anything.
Well, she did just the same. So I bought her a bottle of perfume.
How much was that?
$24.
$24? But nobody can carry that much perfume.
It's only an ounce, silly. It's the latest perfume. Very daring. It's called Perhaps.
Perhaps? For $24, you should get Positively.
Crabby, John. We're not going to fight on Christmas Eve, no matter what happens. Remember, you promised.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get mad because you didn't send me a Christmas card.
I did send you a Christmas card.
It isn't necessary to make excuses or alibis, John. I'm going to forget it entirely.
I don't have to make excuses. I did send you a Christmas card. I mailed it 5 days ago.
John, you promised you wouldn't shout.
Well, then why are you goading me like this? You know, I wouldn't say I sent you a Christmas card unless I had.
I never received it.
Well, then it got lost in the mail.
That's possible.
Thank heaven.
All the other cards came.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. One card can get lost, can it?
If you sent it.
I did send it. I swear I sent it. It had a wonderful poem on it. A beautiful picture was trimmed with lace. Cost me $1.
All right, John.
But do you believe me?
Let's not discuss it anymore.
Okay.
But I hope you don't forget to send one next year.
What's the use? All right, so I didn't send you a card.
That's all? Why didn't you admit it before?
There was nothing to admit. I just said I didn't send it to end the argument, but I really sent it.
What did it say on it?
It said, Merry Christmas to my love.
That could be anybody.
Let me finish. It said, Merry Christmas to my love, my wife, my life, my turtle dove. Life with you is great, it seems. I love you more than pork and beans.
You're only adding insult to injury, John.
Well, how do I know what it said? I can't remember what... What's that laying on top of the newspaper? There it is. There's my card.
So it is. See, you didn't have to get so excited after all. Thank you, darling. It's a lovely card.
Wear it in good health. Well, let's open the present and then go to sleep.
Well, how could you, John? You know we never open presents until Christmas morning. Besides, you haven't finished trimming the tree.
All it needs is a string of lights. One of the bulbs is blown, that kills the whole string.
Can't you buy a bulb?
The stores aren't open now. What time is it?
It's 12:05.
Well, that's good. It's Christmas Day. Let's open the presents.
You didn't even hang up your stocking.
I haven't got one that would hold anything. They look like lace curtains. Come on, let's open the presents, Blanche. Come on. Huh?
Oh, all right.
Say, we haven't got very many this year, have we? Oh, who's this from?
That's from Leo Goosey. It's amazing how you went to the one shaped like a bottle.
Oh, is that what it is? I hope it's good stuff. It's not bad at all.
John, that shampoo.
Shampoo? Why, that chiseler, two-bit Leo. What do I want with a bottle of shampoo? And to think I threw out 39 cents on a tie for him. What have you got there?
It's another present for you. From your boss.
No kidding. Gee, that's a big one. What is it, Blanche?
A 5-gallon can of lighter fluid.
Well, that's fine. That's just what I need. I don't even own a lighter.
Well, don't feel too bad, John. Maybe you can exchange it for something else.
Last year he sent me a bowling ball case. Let's get these things in a rummage sale. I never heard of that.
Here's one for me, from Louise Shaw.
Phew, that's a billy.
Oh, Louise always sends something nice. Not expensive, but it usually comes in handy. Well, look at that.
What is it?
It's a polo score pad. Isn't that nice?
That'll sure come in handy. Honest, Blanche, you got the weirdest collection of friends. Is there anything else?
Just our presents to each other. Why don't you look at what I got you first, and then you can show me what you got for me. Now, close your eyes. I'll unveil it.
Well, all right. I hope you didn't spend too much, dear. I don't really want any.
Open your eyes.
Blanche. Oh, Blanche, darling. Why, that's beautiful. That's a dream. A portable bar with a brass rail.
Don't you think a kiss is in order, John?
Oh, a million kisses.
Well, stop kissing the bar. I meant a kiss for me.
Oh. I'm sorry, darling. It's just too good to be true. Oh, you're wonderful. Blanche, that must have cost a fortune.
John, don't get angry, but I sold my fur coat.
You sold your fur coat?
I wanted you to have the bar, and I didn't have the money.
You sold your coat? That beautiful fur coat that you bought yourself for my birthday. Gorgeous bald mink.
I got $75 for it. The bar cost $85.
Oh, Blanche, you never should have sold that bald mink.
It doesn't matter. I have a cloth coat, and I never get cold.
Yeah, but you don't understand. Open the present I got for you.
I can't wait, John. Oh, a muff. A fur muff.
Genuine pluck skunk. I had it made especially to match that coat. It can hold 2 full quarts. You sold the coat.
Well, what's the difference, darling? Someday you'll make a lot of money, and then you'll be able to have a coat that'll match them up. I'm very happy, John.
I know, but...
And you still have the gorgeous bar.
That's just this.
What's the matter?
I sold all my bourbon to pay for the muff. It's great, isn't it? What a break for both of us.
I think it's wonderful, John.
What do you mean, Blanche?
I've never been so happy in my life. We both made a sacrifice, and that's worth more than all the gold and precious jewels in the world. Just to know that you gave up a prized possession is proof enough that you love me.
I've always loved you, Blanche. I may holler and rant and act like a first-class crumb sometimes, but you never doubted that I loved you, did you?
No, John.
It's been 7 years, honey. Most of it uphill. I haven't showered you with diamonds or bought any yachts. I try not to deny anything. I suppose you have your little faults. What woman hasn't? Or what man either, for that matter. We're both pretty sensitive people. Maybe that's why we beef so much. Still, I don't think we're any worse than any other married couple. At least we have a safety valve and we can let off steam. Some of the others just carry it inside until the break comes. Now, Blanche, I like it this way. And I love you more than anything on earth.
John.
Cut that out. I'll prove how much I love you. Where is that liver, rice pudding, or whatever it is you made?
It's liver.
I'll eat every bit of it if it kills me. Let's go.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas.
Liver. Blech. 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 This.
Larry's mom had liver too. Just...
Liver, rice, pudding.
Right, right. Yeah.
Liver, rice, pudding. Yum. Yum. Ugh, I'm going to have to go get some ice cream and wash my mouth out now.
Yeah. You got the ice cream rinse.
Wash your mouth out with famous ice cream rinse.
Yeah. So he got, what did he get, a brass pole in his bar?
It was a portable bar. I don't know if a brass bar was a...
Brass pole? Was it? No.
Brass, and a portable bar? No.
I don't
know what portable bars are, but I don't know what that would have been. Yeah. Some sort of stylish thing? Back in the day or some such thing, I don't know.
No, we're delving deep into what is Dale's mind on this.
That's a scary thought for anybody.
Don't go there.
Nope. Scary. Creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys don't like rice pudding, even with brandied raisins or rum raisins or anything? No, you don't like it.
What are you cutting? No, I've never had, to be honest with you. I've never had.
Oh,
rice pudding's pretty tasty.
Nor have I had figgy pudding, for that matter. Whatever the hell figgy pudding.
Yes. I've
asked
this before, but I don't remember. Have you guys had mincemeat pie, which is actually
not since Sweeney Todd? No.
Yes, it doesn't have any real meat in it. It's the meat of nuts.
No.
It's nuts.
No, actually,
the original
recipe, it does. It's called suet, I think. It's a meat combination, and it is put in there. But it's also, there's so many aspects of apple and raisin and other things that make it sweet. But the original recipe out of Europe does have meat in it, hence the minced meat. Which is suet.
That makes sense.
I thought it was
American version? No.
I thought mincemeat meant mice. I thought mincemeat meant mice. I didn't know.
No,
I hate mincemeat to pieces.
Yeah. Figgy pudding is a British thing. The Brits, for some reason, call pudding, that Mrs. Cratchit pudding, that's a cake. It's not, pudding is soft and fluffy. Pudding.
Yeah, even there's
British
one that is a flaming pudding that is popular in these times
flaming.
Of the year.
Flaming.
Flaming, yeah. They put a match to it. It burns.
Oh.
It burns off the brandy.
A bit of brandy on there, or if you're upper crust cognac, or if you're low scale, what is it?
Mad Dog 2020. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
That's the stuff.
Yes. Petri wine of choice, Mad Dog.
Mad Dog 2020.
Thunderbird.
Oh my God, Thunderbird. Boone's Farm.
It's a Mad Dog.
I think it's Ripple.
I'm here for
Ripple. Ripple wine.
I want the Ripple.
I'll never forget when Fred Sanford was making mixed drinks. He makes cream soda and Ripple. I call it a cripple. Fred Sanford, you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so everyone, if you're
wondering. I call it a cripple.
You big dummy.
If you really want a really hot dessert, put that on your pie, light it up, and have the fire department there in moments.
Yeah, that would set off your fire alarm there, Gar.
As the night progresses on these festive evenings, and the relatives become more and more drunk, you know, somebody's bound to set their hair on fire.
You can only hope. Makes for good
entertainment.
If you have an open flame on your table from all these puddings and stuff.
Too much figgy pudding and Michael caused Michael Jackson to catch a fire. Yeah. He said it was filming the Pepsi commercial. Yeah, right. It was the figgy pudding.
Or turkey flambé. You know, pour a couple of bottles of Mad Dog and Ripple in the turkey, put it on the front yard, set it on there, and a couple of minutes. Hey, Christmas dinner.
Crazy thing about, like, from Thanksgiving to the end of the year, you're going to run across all of these house fires from people that don't know how to cook. Like, the heck's going on with that?
Well, you have that, too, when people try to deep fry a turkey and forget to measure and account for the displacement of the turkey.
They throw a frozen turkey in there, yeah.
Yep. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
I thought that was our bird because our bird does the Old Spice commercial.
Yeah. Another nickel. Another nickel.
Sometimes she goes,
Lucy, the diehard, the diehard barbecuer out there when the temperature is about negative 12 with a wind chill.
Oh, yeah. I
want to
see that.
And they're barbecuing.
We're going to have that
soon
here.
On the Facebook.
We're going to have that soon in Cleveland, that very weather you just mentioned.
Yeah. That,
oh,
that
boy.
That should be showing up on Facebook any minute now.
Yep.
That's just weird.
Well, everybody hunker down in the bunker, hunker in the bunker until the the weather switches over.
Hey, we have a couple of weirdness announcements here before we run out of time.
Oh, yeah, big announcements, yes.
Oh, yes.
Big announcements. One is the weirdness 2022 special coming up to a couple different places and a couple different community channels and such up here right now. It's out there and going to be out there very soon. And today was the unofficial. I'll be getting out there. It's on the Weirdness Really Bad Movie page, weirdnessreallybadmovie.com. The latest, newest episode of Spaceship One available for all to see. And Don O'Malley, Don O'Malley's breakfast cereal, is in this as his character, Hop Hopkins. And this is the episode Hop Hopkins in the Space Cloud. So it will get to Facebook, but right now it is available on weirdnessreallybadmovie.com. Got to go check that out, everyone. Just released this morning.
Yep. Go ahead and log in. We'll wait.
Over my two special announcements today.
Okay.
I have an announcement. I came up with are they called memes? I don't know. It's an image. And it's an image of a 1950 TV. And on top of the TV is a live Christmas tree that they put up. And they decorate it. It's all beautiful. I had to put some words on it. And the words are, not a creature was stirring. Not until one of the kids watered the live Christmas tree and the TV exploded.
Yeah, there'll be some creatures a-stirring, all right.
Yeah. I don't know why you would ever put it's a good size. It's one of those console TVs, so it had some size to it, and they planted their tree on top of it. But back in the 50s, I mean, the artificial trees might have been around, but this was definitely a real tree. And
that's right.
With the real trees,
more...
you put it in a thing and you would water it throughout the month.
Only one more TV shopping day till Christmas. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I was pleased to see people are still using live trees. Just as long as they're not stupid people that forget to water them and then their house burns down because the tree's all dried out. You good.
Right. Or that they use candles instead of lights even using lights. I mean,
Well, lights, again, if the tree dries out, you're screwed. Scrooge.
Yeah, you're basically,
screwed.
Yeah. Right.
Or,
National
Lampoon, where you find a squirrel still sitting in that tree that was a live tree who's not happy about being inside your house.
Right. Yeah.
And tomorrow night, we'll be back. Wait, no, we got to wrap it up, Gar. We can talk more in the after party.
Okay.
We got to tell everyone that we're decorating for Christmas tomorrow with our Miss Brooks. This is my best. It's a plot to overthrow Christmas starring Orson Welles. And big time, it's WCRS radio stage, Murder in a One-Horse Open Sleigh. That's tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Rat Cheer.
And Linda Lou, thanks for showing up in Fogsbane. Hello, Fogsbane.
Linda Lou, there you are. It's been a long time. Thanks for joining us today.
That was a goat saying thank you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then don't forget Saturday at 8 o'clock on them, their internets and the Twitches and stuff like that.
Nope.
Saturday.
Nope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not going to be on. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was on hiatus until the new year, January 7th or something like that, whatever.
All right. Well, that just killed Vincent Price. So anyway, we'll see you It's 6:30 Eastern. And we're going to do this again next week for before New Year's. We're doing Thursday and Friday. So good luck in prison. Okay. Drink them up and drive home safely. Or safe them up and drive home drinkly. Or something.
Drive home drinkly. Okay. I'll buy that one.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Bottom line, Shriners. Okay, there you go.
I had to default to some of my old DJ lines there to get us out by the clock. Safe them up and drive home drinkly.
Yeah. Are we, is it out? I guess it's out.
Are we out?
Well,
I didn't hear Vincent say goodbye.
We're in the after party.
Oh, well.
We're in the after party already. Didn't even know it.
So.
Okay, who brought the booze? Who brought the booze?
I have Kahlua and
drinks
Bailey's.
Booze.
Yeah. Slip that into Gar's coffee.
Oh,
right,
my.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Oh,
wait, what, you mean that dark silk noir coffee that he drinks?
No, that's on Dale's side. I'm chock full of nuts, that's it. Why not?
That sounds like heavenly coffee.
It is heavenly coffee.
Butternut is a better taste
right
than coffee. You ever see that commercial for Butternut with Boris Karloff and it's set up as he's talking to you?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, we have a Butternut. I have a Butternut commercial where Gar is talking to Boris and he's answering. And it's funny.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Did that.
That's a great idea.
I think
I
did
that one up.
Yeah.
Very nice, very nice.
But it was
Phil, there's a show tomorrow.
There's a
show
tomorrow.
And not a show on Saturday.
Right.
And then we will be back again next Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
Thursday and Friday. Gotcha.
And I will do my best to be here tomorrow, I guess. I hope.
Did you get those?
Yes, I'm being punished. I have to spend time with my other family. No, I'm kidding.
You be that way.
No, talk about your wife.
I don't have a family.
Yes, you do. You have us.
Oh,
you poor guy.
The
horrible horror. Yeah, I know. Yeah. All
you
my family's dead.
Family too. Yeah. You got two families.
Yeah, you got tons of family. You got Twitch family.
Don't be a family hog.
Family,
you got two already.
Family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
And I would have tossed it out there.
What do you want? Some Peg Bundy? You might end up with Peg
Bundy.
Yeah,
why not?
Or Rose.
I thought she
Bob.
Was a very attractive woman, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was.
They just wrote the script that way, but she was a pretty nice person.
Well, yeah, they were all whacked out personalities of. A conglomeration of people who really didn't care for one another, but yet somehow stuck together as a family.
Yeah, it was weird how popular that became with all the dysfunction they were showing.
Yeah.
It became popular. Why? Because there's so much dysfunction in an American family anyway, I guess.
That's because they put the fun in dysfunctional.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yes, that's exactly
sense.
What they did.
Right.
Yeah, they communicated
right.
with people who were married with children, and that's why also it was enjoyed by people who weren't married or didn't have children and who were happy of it once they saw that show.
Yeah, and they explored a lot of things that were once taboo. Maybe not as groundbreaking as All in the Family, but they got into some topics that...
Oh, yeah.
They got into topical topics of that time. And the All in the Family was 20 years earlier, so it was, or 10, or whatever. But the thing with the Scrooge thing, the reason why that kind of hits hard is I have quote-unquote divorced people, not family-wise, as far as like, I don't want anything to do with you, because they were that type of individual where they would want whatever you had, they didn't care if you were dead or not. They just wanted stuff. It was like, well, you need to go away.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't have time for
that. That's
Actually, that's called Hollywood, so nothing new there has changed.
It's true.
No, it wasn't Hollywood. It was right by my family, and I was like, yeah, I got to go. See you guys later. What is that about?
Yeah. So if you really want to put the Scrooge to your family in your will, have it where you leave everything to Greenpeace.
Oh, yeah. Or to the state you live in, or to the to all the inhabitants of Mars or something. You know, you got to really, you know, do it up.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great. But there's nobody on Mars. Prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Well,
this is going to stay in escrow until they come collect it. But you
maybe that'll
on.
Happen by 2030. You never know. You never know.
We're going to have Earth people on Mars. They have one baby, and we've got our first Martian.
There you go.
Yeah. No, either that or just like the movie The Martian, if one person does get stranded up there, by maritime law, they can claim this for their own land. I claim Mars is mine. Everyone else is a renter.
Right, but then it's ownership. It doesn't mean that they're a Martian.
Yeah, well, did you
they're
want like, food and air and stuff
just...
while you're down there, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
You right. With the land rights.
Yeah.
You don't have rights to
you're
living above
on...
you that we can cut off.
Right. He was living with living on potatoes.
So technically you're right, CW, but practically that guy's going to lose in the end.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Unless he can find a way not to have
Hopkins
his greenhouse burnt.
The space cloud.
Cool.
Yeah.
The next
takes place starting
adventure.
Off in
Spaceship One.
Yep, yep. Starts off taking place in Cleveland, Ohio, in October 30th of 1938.
Ooh.
October 30th. Yeah, I'm sorely disappointed. I'm sorely disappointed in Google. I thought Google would be the one. To go into outer space, but no, you have Elon
make
Musk doing it first.
Yeah.
I mean, where's Google? I thought they'd have something up there by now.
I wouldn't mind if Elon Musk stayed on the rocket and it kept going. That guy is crazy.
Ever left the planet? Has he gotten on his own spaceship yet?
He went into orbit and then came right back down. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. He did go up there. That's right.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, but then again, the guy who made the Segway rode off a cliff, so you never know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
So there's hope for you Elon haters out there.
That's just natural selection
everybody.
Right there. Blah, blah.
Now,
yeah.
Anytime you are on anything motorized, don't be near anything that has a ledge or a cliff.
That's
or a precipice.
Not a good plan.
Just stay on. Just, you know, go to a floor.
It doesn't even always work for hang gliding.
Flat.
But CW, what I got out of watching The Bionic Woman that was basically in California was a lot of the places where she was driving her car, it was just right off a precipice, right off some type of abyss right there. You know, it was like, just from getting from point A to point B, just going grocery shopping, you'd have this big drop-off, cliffs and stuff.
See, and I thought there'd be more of those, like quicksand growing up. You know, more of those.
And the quicksand, that's right.
Yeah. It's kind of like the same thing. There could be more of that.
Yeah. And you always hear, well, be careful because there's a quicksand pit about 5 miles that way. Why does the county let a quicksand pit there? Go dig it up, clean it out, cement it over or do something, but take the quicksand out. No, just going to leave it there.
Well, but then again, does it have a living ecosystem in it?
They might pop up like sinkholes.
Build a bridge over it.
Yeah.
Like a bridge over troubled waters, say?
For example? I don't know.
It was a ecosystem, but I'm sure the mastodons that fell into it weren't thrilled about it.
No, probably not. Probably not. Fans. Especially
and you guys
use probably
you
don't swim
that
I'm
using.
Good.
Yeah. And everybody's
mastodon. Hey.
Youth, did you have old world foods in your growing up for holidays? Yes. Like I mentioned, I Vince Mead and that.
Is peanut butter no world food?
Yeah. Well, it's a peanut butter, you know.
A Polish family, so they had pierogi, gwumpki, which is your stuffed cabbage.
And they had this for holiday meals?
Yeah, some holidays,
yeah,
more Easter than Christmas.
The old world foods, such as Kraft mac and cheese, Velveeta, is that the old world food?
I don't remember.
I don't know
that
that was over in Germany and Europe, mac and cheese was necessary on the tables there. Could have been. I don't know.
They probably got
sounds
it at
more,
the USPX, the military store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No,
so, yeah,
it
I had
a
that
store
kind of
and
ethnicity
then,
going on in the family that adopted me. There was a lot of Polish fare. And there
yeah.
was something that some of the older folks would eat called czarnina, commonly referred to as duck's blood soup. Thank you. No.
No.
Yeah. Blah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 1960s and 70s, there used to be a store called Giant Open Air, and I believe it was widespread. And they had old style foods. They would import foods from Europe, and folks would get stuff from there.
Yeah, any of your old folks ever eat the head cheese? Remember head cheese?
Never touched
it.
It's gelatinous stuff with chunks of meat floating in it. And my father would eat it. Oh, I would retch at the sight of it. I would physically, like, my insides would turn inside out at the very sight of it.
And then he'd take off his shoe and hit you in the head. Get out of here,
that
kid.
Was, by the way, that was supposed to be, that was the working title of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you remember, there's that one scene with the hitchhiker when he goes, my brother makes good head cheese.
it was supposed to be the Head Cheese Massacre?
No, that was going to be the title of the movie, Head Cheese.
Head Cheese, okay.
Yeah.
At one point, that was the working title. I changed it. Two?
Yeah, good thing he's working.
No kidding. Yeah, all those foods, the quiche, the blood sausage. In Britain, they have blood sausage as well. In Korea, they have the same thing. They call it sundae, not ice cream sundae, but sundae. And it's the liver and pork, just like quiche, just like, yeah. It seems to be a planetary nightmare.
It is, but our
standards
are different.
And then there's the Donner Party. No, never mind. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Too soon?
Standards are different. Back in the day, it was called, we need protein, we don't care what it is. And so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Necessity.
You know, we need to eat, so there you go.
The mother of cannibalism, but
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
We all are
something
the
like
cannibals,
that.
In a way, we eat, we're meat eaters, and so, you know, all kinds of stuff there.
with the exception of one here, thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
You're eating the tofu.
We are technically, I believe, omnivores, so that means we could probably...
Right, there you go, omnivores, there you go. There you go, we're all omnivores.
If you can get what you need out of what you eat, then go for it. You know what I mean? If you get what your body needs or craves or whatever, then roll with it. As long as it's not like family members or pets.
Right.
If you gave it a name, you shouldn't eat it. If you gave it a personal name, don't
eat
it.
As we wind down the year of Soylent Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. That could happen.
And that actually could have had a name. That could have had a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it did it one time.
Tuesday is
a lot of Uncle Fred. Yeah.
I think Tuesday is
exactly Uncle Fred in a can.
Yeah. Wednesday is Soylent Red. Soylent Red.
Yep. You get your various colors.
Reminds me of a former boss I had once.
Oh, God. That's one way to get rid of the evidence.
There you go. Oh, There was like a Twilight Zone or something where the police came over and he fed them some type of food and it was the murder victim or something. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't think Twilight Zone. They didn't get that more.
Edgar Allan Poe or Hitchcock or something. It was it's pretty dark.
Maybe Sweeney Todd, maybe?
No. It was like an Outer Limits or something.
Mrs. Lovett's Meat Pies.
No, it was something where the cops came over and he had barbecued up something. Here you go, eat this. And it was, they were taking care of the murder victim.
That's pretty dark. Don't remember that.
It was very short. It was like within a half hour it was finished. It wasn't a movie. Or maybe it was a 45-minute thing, but it was like, you know.
Could have been one of those Tales from the Crypt or something? That sounds
could have
like
been a Tales from the Crypt. Could have been. Yeah, there we go. Maybe that was it. I don't really follow that.
Have either of you ever got to enjoy the reprints of the EC comics? There's been various ways of getting reprints of EC comics. They sold them in comic book format, hardback,
right. All
kinds of stuff. They're really cool.
I haven't been able to afford them. They were kind of pricey when I was looking. They were like $65 an issue or something.
The collections but they used to sell them like a comic book at a time as a reprint back in the, I want to say the 90s. And I amassed a fair collection of the reprints, you know, just to have the stories to read and enjoy the art.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that. Is it EC Comics, not DC?
Oh, yes. You must know about EC Comics. Gar and I could enlighten you a little bit here. They were
pre-Comic Code comics, horror, vampires, cannibalism, werewolves.
But they also had like a lot of police stories, and they would get into drug stories and blah, 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 which is why – and this was right around McCarthyism era. This dude named Frederick Wortham – damn him to hell.
Oh, that guy.
Wrote a book called The Seduction of the Innocent, and he inferred that Batman and Robin were gay because they lived together. Wonder Woman must be a lesbian because she beats up men, and this is warping society, and we have to make sure we edit everything that goes into a comic book. Hence the the government was going to slam down on them, but the comic books went the way of the movie theaters and said, no, we're going to self-govern, and we'll create a rating system. Or a code with which you can have comic books.
Right.
And there is one survivor of EC Comics, CW. Well, it was a survivor up until maybe 2 years ago. They switched to magazine format to evade the Comics Code of Authority, and it was called Mad Magazine.
Well done.
Maybe couple dozen issues were in comic books format and size, and it was fully titled Tales Calculated to Drive You Mad, and it was, you know, the same kind of satire comedy stuff, but they switched to magazine format. Yep. Yeah, he came a bit later, but the guy who was
that also ushered in a large amount of monster-related magazine formats that were available, and they saturated all the magazine racks around the country in 7-Elevens or supermarkets or wherever they could find a spot.
I remember even Marvel was putting out those big black and white magazines with the comic stories in them, and there was some adult material in them.
Yes.
You know, not over the top, but they showed a little nudity.
Yeah.
And stuff that was exciting when you're 13. Oh, look, I saw one.
Yeah, they flipped Dracula into that.
They did. The EC Comics, you got to look those up. I'm sure there's online stuff you can see of it too, CW. The art from them is pretty iconic, where some of the later artwork came, derived from for horror artists and stuff.
I wonder if it's any in archive.org. Dot org has a few examples.
I bet they do. They have a lot of. They have the old pulp magazines in there and everything.
Yeah, they have tons of weird.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's getting kind of late, and I have to work tomorrow.
Yep.
I'll bet Dave does too, and I'll bet CW does too.
Yeah, I'm the only
that four-letter word. How dare you mention that four-letter word?
Yeah, the one few that brings me no pleasure. Just a paycheck, though, thankfully.
Good night, Dave.
So let's roll out the schnozola.
All right. Good night, folks.
Durante. Good night, and here's Durante, just for you.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Say it already.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible up we the same, and it could think it do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Hit 'em on.
Show starts in 1 minute.